Lamentations chapter 3, and we'll start there in verse 21, and we'll continue on. It says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto me, unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings. Lord, now as we go, continue on in these scriptures, Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've seen, as we looked at Jeremiah's life, we looked at he's a prophet of judgment. He spoke judgment for God. We've seen the very first part, that God is faithful in his grace. His grace saves us. We looked at it in Ephesians chapter 2. His grace secures us. Thank God that when he saves us, he keeps us. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse, we are kept by the power of God. And, you know, that's one thing we can be assured of when he talks about everlasting life. That's something, it's the difference between somebody, I heard an illustration one time, it's the difference between a man that's working on a high-rise building without any gear on, any straps or any harness or anything, versus a man with harness. We know, the Bible tells us we can know that we're saved. John chapter 5 and verse 13 says we can know that we have our salvation. And it gives us, through the assurance of the scriptures of what God tells us, we can live out a victorious Christian life. But if you're worried about every day of life, worried about your salvation, whether you had it or not, you would never get nothing accomplished. It'd be the same thing as you're looking at somebody climbing up in a tree, and you're trimming a tree or cutting a tree down, or vice versa. If you don't have the proper gear to tie you to the tree so you can let loose of it, because if you don't have nothing tying you to it, you're always constantly holding on with one arm trying to hold on, and eventually you get tired. But if you have the proper gear, you can stay up there as long as needed. We are secure in the salvation that God gives us. We are kept by the power of God. So the second thing we're going to see today, starting in verse 22, the last part of the verse, we'll read the whole verse. It says, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So not only do we see God is faithful in his grace, but we see God is faithful in his gifts. He is faithful in his gifts. Compassion, if you look at the word compassion, this word literally means womb. It means to be moved in the heart out of love for another. When we have compassion on somebody, it comes from within. This word is a picture of the grace of God actively moving in the life of the believer. See, when we pass through our storms and our valleys, we do not do so alone. Just as it continually reminds me of that saying, footprints in the sand. And he gets to the point where he sees one set of footprints and he says, "You know, I thought you were going to be with me through it all." And he says, "I was. When you see one set of footprints, I was carrying you." And that's what God does for us. See, he observes our path. His grace gives us all that we need for our journey. God's gifts are faithful. God is faithful in his gifts, but God's gifts are faithful. We see in 2 Corinthians, hold your finger in Lamentations, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, in which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will glory. I yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be as a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient for thee." See, God's gifts are faithful. See, God did not promise an easy road. He promised that his grace would be sufficient for the need. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul, I believe, was that man that was caught up into the heaven, and God revealed a lot of things to him, but God would not allow him to reveal those things. And because of that, God gave him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humbled. Just like sometimes God humbles us in certain parts of our life. God's gifts are faithful. He says, My grace is sufficient for thee. See, God is our sufficiency. And see, he wants us to empty ourselves. As Paul says, I die daily in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. He wants us to empty ourselves daily so he can fill us. His grace is sufficient for us. See, grace is usually defined as the unmerited love and favor of God towards sinners. It's just getting something we don't deserve. That's what grace is. God gave us salvation. We deserve hell, and he was gracious enough to give us salvation through his Son. He was gracious enough to send Christ. See, it carries the idea that this word has come to mean so much more than that. It comes to refer to the strength of God to face battles and to bear up in under times of difficulty. He gives us what we need at the right time when we need it. He doesn't ever ask us to do anything that he's not going to provide for that situation. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he doesn't enable us to do, that he doesn't help us. I mean, there's some preparation on our part that we need to get ready for things, but he enables us to do things. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1. Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. It says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, Seba for thee. See, he's going to be with us through everything. He's going to keep us through everything. He will give us the necessary strength to face the trying times of life. He'll prepare us. So God's gifts are faithful. The gift of his presence. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. It says in Matthew chapter 28 verse 20. He says that he'll always be with us. 28 verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's always going to be with us. See, God is always present with us. Even when He can't be seen, even when we don't feel like He's here, even when we feel like we're all alone, God is with us. The gift of His presence. We need to trust Him. The gift of His performance. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. The gift of His performance. It says, now unto Him that is able to do what? To do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? To the power that worketh in us. See, the gift of His performance. See, we need to focus on the word able. It says, now unto Him that is what? Able. God is able. God is faithful. See, God is greater by far than any other problem we can ever have in our life. And He says, we're not to fear man, but we're to fear Him who can... See, man can kill the body, but fear Him who can kill the body and the soul. So we need to fear God in His performance. He is greater than all. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, God will take care of us. He's proven it time and time and time again. Every time we get... it seems like I get a little lower on work. I start wondering, like, when's the next job going to come through? But guess what? He comes. And He's provided time and time again. See, God is greater than any problem we can have or ever will have. The gift of His provision. The gift of His provision. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. So we see the gift of His presence. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We see the gift of His performance. He is able to do above and beyond our comprehension. But we see in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. It's a very good verse to memorize. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. He shall provide all of our needs. What's it say in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6 and starting in verse 25. He doesn't want us to worry. Why? Because He's going to take care of us. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. It is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought for saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But then He goes on to say in verse 33, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And then one last scripture pertaining to this is Psalm 37 and verse 25. Psalm 37. This is one of my favorite verses. Psalm 37 and verse 25. See, we've got to remember that God is in the business of taking care of His own. He's in the business of taking care of our needs. He says, in verse 25, this is the Psalm of David, chapter 37, verse 25. It says, I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Well, we just got to remind ourselves, God's going to take care of us. See, the gift of his provision. See, God has promised to take care of his children. But we need to have faith in the trustworthiness of God. We need to have faith in him. We need to trust him. See, God is always found faithful. We see in Job chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job was to the point in his life that no matter what happened, after all he went through, he lost everything he had, his physical possession, he lost all of his children. He was given boils all over his body. He could barely, couldn't even stand. I mean, he was trying to scrape them. He was down in the dump, so to speak. But even though through all of what Job went through, he says, though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust in him. We need to trust God. And again, I remind you, as we are facing uncertain times, we don't know what our future is going to be in America. We don't know what's going to take place next through this whole thing with this virus and with the government. We don't know what's going on. But we know one thing for sure, God is in control. Another thing for sure, we can trust him for another day because he's always found faithful. The question I have, do we really believe that the Lord is absolutely faithful? Do we really believe that? Because our life should show it. Are we able to trust the Lord when we go through times that cannot be understood and that make no sense? Just like we're going through now, the times that we have, it makes no sense to us. It makes no sense at all. And everybody across the nation, what's one of the main things that they hurt was the church. Because when we can't have that face-to-face contact, there's something about coming to church and the fellowship between fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That online stuff is nonsense. It works, but it's not the same. There's something about getting together, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as we see the days approaching. We need to not forsake ourselves together. There's something about being around God's people. Do we believe that He has our best interest at heart? Do we really believe that? Are we confident of the fact that God will indeed provide our needs? We can trust Him. Then we see the last part of this, the gift of His person. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, he says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then we see in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, God doesn't change. Thank God for that. Thank God He's not like man who changed from one minute to the next or changes their mind. God does not change. He says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And like I said there in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changes. See, these verses reveal the truth about God's nature that makes Him reliable at all times. When we know we can go back to the same thing, same person, same place, daily, throughout the day, we can go to the same person throughout the day and determine Him to be reliable. Isn't it something about people that are reliable? But God is always reliable. That is simply the fact that He does not change. God is the same today as He has been forever. The same as He ever will be forever. He was faithful in the beginning and He will be faithful in the end. When Jesus says He's going to come back for us, He's coming back for us. That's our hope. Our hope is the simple fact that He rose from the dead. He's living ever, and now we're waiting for him to come back and get us, to take us home with him. Just like that bride, when you look at the picture of a marriage relationship, is waiting for her bridegroom to come get her for that day. And they're reunited. And that's what we're waiting as Christ. See, he was steadfast in the lives of Bible characters that placed their faith in him, as we see that Hebrews chapter 11, as they call it, the hall of faith. Every one of these people lived by faith. They trusted God. See, God is a steadfast and trustworthy God. But these gifts of our faith of God are unchanging and unfailing. But we see there in verse 23, back in Lamentations chapter 3, it says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's gifts are fresh. They're new every morning. The grace of God is as fresh as the new day. See, every day we start a fresh day. Every week, when Monday comes, well, we start on Sunday by worshiping the Lord and honoring Him. We start our week. That's why we start our week right. But we don't have to worry about being enough for us to make it through. We don't have to worry about the supply. Because why? God's supply never runs out. It's not like today when we're going to the store to try to get a roll of toilet paper and there's none there. You try still to go to the toilet paper and get some hand sanitizer. There's none there. But God's supply does not run out. It's fresh every day. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore nor thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. See, each day witnesses a new, unfailing, all-sufficient supply of God's marvelous, matchless, wonderful, amazing grace. Every day it's new. See, God's faithfulness is seen in the fact that we woke up today in our right minds and reasonable health. It's new. We woke up with the air to breathe. Think about it. When's the last time you thought about breathing? We don't. Because God's gives us that breath. Food to eat. People to love around us. See, we got to remember that God is faithful. God is faithful in His grace. He's faithful in His gifts. But God is faithful in His goodness. We see that in verses 24 through 26. It says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The word good here has the idea of pleasant, agreeable, or excellent. It refers to the character of God. This word reminds us that God is ever engaged in that which is best in the lives of His children. God wants what's best for us. When you look at the type of love that God loves us with, it's agape love. It's a love that wants what's best for those that it loves. It's whatever the subject of our love is. It's just like the same type of love that we're supposed to have for our spouse. Not the intimate type of love. I'm talking about just a love. We're to love them. We want what's best for them at all times. The same as children. We see there in verse 24, it says, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. He is a satisfier. See where we remember John chapter 4, when he says, This river will burst out in everlasting life, the one that will be within us. This water here, we're going to thirst again, but the water that God gives us, the life He gives us within, He's a satisfier. See, the word here, as we see there, He is my portion. Portion is it means share, you know, like my share, Or as they when they went to war, it was called booty. That's what they brought back, whatever they got from the enemy. It refers to the spoils of war. See, Jeremiah is saying in the battle of life, God is my reward, my share, my portion. See, we don't need nothing else besides what God, who God is. See, He is our satisfaction. When's the last time that you were satisfied? Should have been when you spent time with the Lord, because He satisfies that soul. He puts a joy within us, a happiness. Psalm 103 and verse 5. It says, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles?" Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? And that can refer to, this would tie into Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." But they will renew their strength. See, our strength is renewed from the Lord. He is our satisfaction. He is the satisfier. Psalm 107 and verse 9. It says, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." See, we can find satisfaction in God. Romans 8:28 says, let's turn there for a minute. "All things work together for good that love to them that love God and are called according to His purpose." See, God will give us that which will satisfy our soul, but He also will give us all that which is best for us. Sometimes we may not think it's best, but God's going to give us what's best. Not only is He a satisfier, as we see there in verse 24 and 25, it says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." He is a sustainer. God will never fail those who place their trust in Him. He's never going to fail us. What's it say in Isaiah? Isaiah 26. Again, that's another good verse. I mean, the whole Bible's good, but Isaiah 26, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." It goes along with this back in one of the epistles where God gives us the peace that passes all understanding. When God sustains us and He gives us that peace that passes all understanding, there's nothing can shake it. It's kind of a picture, as I heard an illustration one time, of a bird sitting on the side of a cliff in a nest in the midst of the eye of the storm. The storm going all around it, but it's sitting there at rest, at peace, because it's in the eye of the storm. He is a sustainer. We see in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." See, we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Matthew 5, 18. It says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." We see that nothing, all of God's promises will never fail. They will be honored by Him. It's the same thing as when you go to the bank, somebody signs a check, you go to the bank, it's going to be honored by the bank because they know it's a good check from who it's from. It's the same thing with God. God will honor His promises. Psalm 119. Verses 89 and 90. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We can take it as far as we want to. God is found faithful. He is a sustainer. See, if you come to Him for salvation, He will not send you away lost. John chapter 6 and verse 37, He talks about He won't cast us out. We can come to Him and He won't cast us out. If you trust Him for salvation, He will never send you away into hell. Why? Because it's an everlasting, John chapter 10 and verse 28. He says He'll never let go of us. We are kept. He's a sustainer. If you look to Him for the needs of your life, you'll never be disappointed. He will supply all of our needs. And again, needs, not wants. But not only is He a sustainer, He is a Savior. In this context, Jeremiah is saying, those who wait upon the Lord will see Him bring them out of the troubles and trials. See, God's going to see us through this. There's a reason God is allowing this. We got to remember He's in control. But He's going to allow us, He's allowing us to go through this for some reason we don't fully comprehend. See, we need to remember that God is able to deliver both the saint and the sinner. See, He is a sustainer. Great is the faith that can stand amid the wreckage of life and declare the praises of God. Jeremiah was that kind of believer. He's seen so much wickedness and sinfulness. That's why it says Lamentations. They said Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was in tears all the time because of what he saw, because of what he had to deal with. Here's an illustration. During the early years of a missionary activity in China, four members of one family accepted Christ as Savior, but the youngest, a little boy, did not. Later, he came to his father and said he wanted to confess publicly that he had received the Savior. The father felt that he was not old enough, so he explained to the lad that he might fall back if he made a profession when he was so young. So his well-meaning, concerned father, the boy gave this touching reply, "Jesus has promised to carry the lambs in his arms. I am only a little boy. It will be easier for Jesus to carry me." The simplicity and the genuineness of the boy's faith made a profound impression on the father, and he quickly sensed that his son knew what he was doing. Soon the youngster made him his faith in Christ and made it known. He publicly pronounced it. He made a public profession that he has faith in Christ and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. See, as we face the battles, the burdens, the valleys, the storms, the trials of life, as we go through these things, we must always remember that we are His little lambs and that He is well able to carry us safely through. Again, going back to that footprints in the sand, we should go back and look at it and read through it and remind ourselves. We got to remember that He is a sustainer. He is a Savior. We got to remember, as we see here in verse 23, they are new every morning. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We serve a faithful God. We got to continue. Why we so soon forget? Because it's human nature. That God is always found faithful. He's going to be here for us. He's going to walk us through. He's going to supply our needs. So we see here through Lamentations, we see that God is faithful. We're just going to take a few moments to take what we've heard from the Scriptures. And, you know, if we're going through any difficulties or we're having anything, this is a time that we can come forward and deal with them with God and ask Him to help us through them.